All right, again, thank you for being here this morning. And I won't be long in either of the services because I'm sure you're still on a sugar rush and you're probably still tired. The kids got you up early. You probably stayed up way too late and you ate way too much. And I get that. At least that's what happened at our house. And so I'm pretty sure. You know, it is Christmas time and we are finishing up with that. It's the day after Christmas. Of course, it seems that most people love Christmas. In fact, I'm sure you've noticed, it seems like Christmas celebrations start earlier and earlier each year. How many of you noticed that? It seems with COVID, it's like people needed an excuse, and so now it's starting in late September or October. People are listening to Christmas music really early. By the way, there should be a rule about that, right? Christmas music shouldn't start till after, I was going to say Easter, not Easter, after Thanksgiving. Okay, some people do start after Easter, and it's like, whatever, it just doesn't fit. But people love Christmas, and there's a lot to love about it if you think about it. The spirit of the season, people just seem to be a little bit nicer. Now, probably by tomorrow, that'll all change, okay? So take advantage of it while you can. Some of the actions, you know, Christmas lights and fellowships and family things that you do and being with your family. At least that should be part of a blessing, okay? You know, spending time together, Christmas Eve, New Year, all the different things that you do. Of course, the people do like the music, the general cheerfulness. I mean, if you're like our family, there's certain tradition things we do, we've always done, certain times. And then, of course, we would be making a mistake if we didn't mention the food of Christmas, right? How many of you like the food? Okay, how many of you aren't awake? Okay, John Castle, God bless you, buddy. But let me say this. No matter how long you try to stretch it out, it comes to an end. We have a neighbor, I'm not going to point which direction. When I'm working in my office, I'll just walk around the block every now and then because I'm tired of sitting at the desk. And the last few years, their Christmas tree has come out. The earliest it's come out is late January. And a couple times it's come out in February. And we're talking about a live tree. They just don't want to see it. They just don't want to see it end. You know, you drive around the neighborhood and you'll see all the Christmas lights, and then it's all of a sudden they start slowly but surely going down. But there's always that one neighbor that 3 weeks from now they're still going to have their Christmas lights up and going. I hope you had a great day yesterday. And also over the next week, as it's New Year's and there's still some holiday time. And I hope that you do enjoy it. Now, as we look at this, this is the Christmas story. It's a story of the wise men who went to see the newborn king. They saw a star, you know the story well, that prompted their trip. And they're coming to worship the newborn king. So as they go, they obviously come to Jerusalem, the place where they would expect to find a king. Herod hears of what's going on and finds out that basically from prophecy that the Messiah is coming. So he senses a rival, and he tells the wise men, he's very deceptive, he tells the wise men, hey, once you find him, come let me know so I can worship him also. That's called a lie. Yeah. He was, by the way, Herod was a very, the different ones, they're very evil people. Once they leave Herod, the star once again appears to them and leads them to the young child Jesus, the young Messiah. And of course, they give him their gifts. As they are leaving, they are warned by God, don't go back the same way you did. Of course, there's danger there because of Herod. And they go on their way and they go a different way. Now, as you look at this story, you see a lot of the elements, a lot of the things that are involved in our celebration of Christmas. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Now, what's the message this morning? Okay, you ready? Don't throw stones when you hear it. Here's the message. Ready? Christmas is over. It's done. You say, oh, you're a Scrooge. You're a Grinch. No, I'm not. I'm not trying to be negative. But no matter how long you try to hang on, it is over. Yep. How many of you have a live tree? Okay, how many of you do the artificial tree? Yep. We've done both, and eventually we just said, let's just do the live tree. And in our house, it's Emily's job to feed the tree. Like, did you feed the tree? You try to put water in there and keep it alive, and it does good for the first couple weeks. We always get ours the day after Thanksgiving. That's one of our traditions. But long about a week and a half before Christmas, The tree quits taking water. It's dead. I'll walk by and touch it. Now it's like touching sandpaper, right? How many, you know, Christmas is over. Your Christmas tree is going to die. I'll give you until New Year's, but it's time to quit listening to the Christmas music. Your lights are going to be turned off, and you're going to take them all down. You'll take your decorations, you'll put them in the box, you'll put them in your garage and hope the rats don't get to them. The last artificial tree we had, I like colored lights. I think you're a communist if you just like Christmas trees with white lights, and we have Christmas trees with white lights. My daughters did that. One year, I'm like, I'm getting us an artificial tree. I'm tired of this. And I went out and I find one. It had some retro lights and it was colored lights. And I was like so excited. We used it. And then when we pulled it out next year, the rats had got into our little thing. And I'm like, no, I am not giving up on this thing. It took me forever. And I took it out there and I rinsed it. And it just didn't work. We buried it. The parties are over soon. The get-togethers. The constant eating needs to end and the diet needs to begin. After New Year's. Take another week, have a good time with that. There are no more gifts coming your way, only the bills on those gifts. You did know you're going to have to pay for those sometime, right? All right, just checking. No more days off. Time to get back to school and work. And my personal favorite, no more ugly sweaters. No more of Raul dressed in his Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer onesie. If he wore that today, I was done. Now, if that's all I said this morning, I am being negative, and you could probably just go home. But that's not my point. Here's my point. Although Christmas is over, a lot of the key elements that make Christmas special don't have to end.
Right. Amen.
Fact of the matter is, that kind of joy and all the different things we have, we ought to have that all year long.
Amen.
But Christmas is over, but the elements aren't. So as we look at this story, what are some of the elements of the Christmas story that should never be over? See how I flipped that and made it a positive? You're welcome. First of all, Christmas may be over, but seeking him is not over.
That's right.
Look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Do you see that they were actively looking for him? Yes, God was leading them, but they wanted to find him, and they diligently sought after him. It's interesting that these wise men, who were probably Gentiles, who would seek the Savior. But they were looking for him. By the way, let me say this. I hope during Christmas you did not take a vacation from Jesus Christ. God wants us to seek him. God wants us to have that close relationship. After all, it's Christ's birthday. We should be focusing on him. Let me just say, 2022 is around the corner. What are you going to do in 2022 to be a better Christian than you are now? What are you going to do in 2022 to draw closer to Jesus Christ than you are now? Let me say this, it's not going to happen unless we seek him. Amen. As David said in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4, one thing of the Lord have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And by the way, I don't like people. Well, that's just not my personality. You know, I'm not overboard. No, everybody has something they're overboard on. Everybody does. Everybody has something that's important to them. Everybody has something that they go after. Why do we, like, put that over on the table when we get saved? Why don't we pursue Jesus Christ as much as people pursue their sports teams? Why don't we pursue, and I'm not against you liking a sports team unless it's the Raiders, okay? But why do we pursue our hobbies and our interests, whether it's fishing? I felt something there. Whether it's fishing or whatever, and we'll pursue that, we'll figure it out, we'll know everything about it, and yet we that's Jesus, I can't seek after him like that. Let's seek after him. He is the Savior of the world. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I know our society, and I get it, they're not Christian. They tried to wipe Jesus out of Christmas, but we're Christians. I hope we're still seeking him. Someone wore the shirt that says, wise men still seek him. And I've said it over and over and over, and you probably are tired of hearing it, but you are as close to God as you have chosen to be.
That's right.
And you want to get close to God this year? Why don't we seek him?
Amen.
Why don't we seek him? Christmas may be over, but worshiping him is not over. Verse 2, they were telling their story. They are come to worship him. They were looking for him. Verse 11, it says, and worship him. They came for the very purpose of giving him worship. That's bowing down in reverence. That's knowing his worth. That is understanding his eternal value. Worship means we ascribe worth to. We give adoration. We give reverence and we give devotion. And let me just say this, and I don't want to be ballistic on a Christmas morning, but music is not worship. I'm tired of churches. You know, we have our worship services, 30 minutes of nothing more than what you'd hear on secular radio. I'm sure when the wise men went there, they didn't have a bunch of women in tight clothes jumping around saying, we're worshiping the king. Now, singing can be a part of worship, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot more. We just think, oh, I just came to church and I sang these songs I like to sing and I worship Jesus. No, you just sang songs. See, we worship Jesus when we understand the songs we're singing. We understand who we're singing to. The songs have meaning and help us to get closer to him. But that ought to just happen in our life. Do we think about him on a regular basis? I mean, when we're living our day, do we look for those opportunities to say, Lord, this happened and that's your hand. Are we thankful to him? When we see things that happen in our life and we stop for a minute and say, that's of God. God did that. Or God was gracious to allow that in my life. Thank you, Lord. Do you know we're not just thanking him, we're worshiping him.
Yep.
We're understanding how vital he is in our life. Let's not just think about Jesus Christ when it's Christmas time. And you had your thing and you read the verses for the Christmas story. If you've read that with your family or whatever you did, and now we move on with our life. There's a lot more to it. Do you understand God is a jealous God? That doesn't mean he's ballistic. Like some guys are just jealous and it's craziness and nonsense and all that. But I'm talking about God loves us with that kind of love. What is the most hurtful thing you can do to an individual? I think that one of the most hurtful things to a guy or even to a girl would be to have the person they love cheat on them.
Yeah.
Be with somebody else. Think of it this way. That's the picture God gives when we're not faithful to him. God says, you ran after another God, and I'm your God. I love you. I don't want to share you with anybody else. I hope that we're going to worship him. That doesn't just end because of whatever time of the year it is. God wants us to worship him, and that comes as we get to know him more intently, more intensely. We understand who he is and what he does. You can't help but understand how wonderful that he is. Give the worship to him. Don't worship some other person. Some pleasure you get out of life. Some practice in your life. Let's still worship him all year long.
Amen.
Christmas may be over, but following him is not over. Look at verse 9. This is pictured in the star. And they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before him till it came and stood over where the young child was. You know, they got to him by following that star. They let it take them in the right direction. Now let's just apply that. Let's take a look at that. That's how we're supposed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you know how we follow him? We follow him God's way and not our own. They didn't drop out a GPS. They said, the star's telling us where to go. Let's follow the star. And that took them right to Jesus Christ. See, many people want to follow Jesus Christ, but they want to take their own path. They want to do their own thing and say, well, I want to follow him, but this is the path I'm going to take. Can I just tell you something? Our paths don't lead us to Jesus Christ. There is a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs. In fact, that was so important, it was quoted twice in the book of Proverbs. We got to follow God. We follow him our way. That's why I don't necessarily like that phrase, because I'll be honest with you, in a lot of cases, it's just not true. People don't want to say they're Christians. I'm a follower of Christ. Okay, well, if you're a follower of Christ, let me ask you this. Are you following him?
Come on.
Or is it just a nice bumper sticker? Or is it just a nice little phrase to put on a t-shirt? We're following him. You know what that means? He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. But we want a God that we can create in our own image. I read this phrase many years ago. Somebody said in a book I read, he said, God created man in his own image, and we've returned the favor. We want to create God in the image we want. We just look at him and we focus in on what we want, and we say, okay, God, just stamp of approval. That's how my God is. I'm sorry. God is the God of the Bible, and that's how he works. Amen. Let's follow him this year. Let's do what we're supposed to. Don't follow some false imitation. If you don't know the truth, you can get a false view of who God is.
Yeah.
These prosperity guys, oh, you know, if you're saved, you ought to just be rich. You know why they say that? They want to be rich.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, Paul didn't get that memo. The disciples didn't get that memo.
No.
The followers of the early church didn't get that memo. Believers around this world didn't get that memo. You know why? That only plays in America.
That's right.
Doesn't play in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's false. It's counterfeit view of God. I had a guy that was coming to church here, and he was coming, and he wasn't real. He'd come every now and then, so I was visiting him, trying to encourage him. And he had a little bit of this view of God. He mentioned a preacher he listened to, and it was a wealth, and I'm like, that's not good. And this man lost his job. So I go, he couldn't find a job, and he went several weeks, and I was visiting him, and I knew it was going to come. He said one day, he goes, you know what? I'm disillusioned about God, because why isn't he blessing me? Why am I... Did I get a better job? Because he had that false view. Well, I'm worshiping him. I should be rich. I should never get sick. That type of thing. That's the God we've created in our own image. Christmas may be over, but rejoicing is not over.
That's right.
Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You read the whole story in the different gospels about the birth of Christ. Rejoicing and joy to the whole world. It's all right there. People, by the way, people are generally, there's some people, they're never happy. Amen? They're just like, you know, it's like, yeah, you could give $1 million. And it's like, why wasn't it two?
Yeah.
But have you noticed people are generally nicer this time of year?
Yeah.
People are generally more joyful this time of year. Why? Because they get to spend time with family. They got some days off. And that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But why in the world can we not have that joy year round?
Come on.
I mentioned this years ago, but I worked at when I was in Bible college, I worked at a warehouse, and it was 24 hours a day. And so it was a cup, solo cup. And so the factory ran 24 hours a day, so, you know, 3-hour shifts. And so since it was constantly running, you know, when you took your breaks, it was always split up. And so we'd go in the break room, and when you're in the break room, there'd be one group of people, and then their break was a different time because they worked a different apartment. They'd leave, then someone else would come in, but you're still in there. And there was one little table, this group, they'd always just nitpick at each other, and you'd hear them all year long, nitpicking. And I remember the last day before Christmas break, I worked third shift, and, you know, we were supposed to get off at 6 in the morning, and they shut everything down by 4. It was just a big party. You know, I'm sitting around at 4, like, just let us go home. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to. And we're just sitting there, and here's all these ladies over in the corner, and they were all singing Christmas songs together and hugging and having a good time. And I'm like, I remember what you said about each other in the break room. There was no, they weren't singing songs together. They were making plans. And I just thought, you know, listen, they have that joy just because they're going to get a couple days off of work, they're going to get to be with family, and then they'll come back in the new year with their nails sharpened, and they'll go at it again. And I'm thinking, we can have that joy all year round. And I know people get depressed. The Christmas tree's gone and all that stuff. And it's like, look, if I know Jesus Christ, I have Christmas all year long. I don't need a Christmas tree. I don't need presents. I don't need, well, I do need that, so you can keep them coming. But you know, I don't need all that to be joyful. I have a relationship with the King of Kings. Listen, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. The Bible tells us over and over we're to rejoice evermore. We're commanded to be joyful. By the way, sometimes people lose their joy, do they not? And I'm not sitting here saying that bad things don't happen, but when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, even in tough times, you can get your joy back. There's a Christmas hymn. I actually like it, and it's not very well known, and I don't know, Brother Grandy, if we ever sang it. It was written by a famous poet. His name was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. How many ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He was married twice. His first wife died giving childbirth. He had a second wife, and she was lighting a candle around Christmas time, and something happened, and her dress caught fire, and he tried to put it out. You know, they didn't have the technology we had now, and he tried to put it out, and he couldn't put it out, and she was burned very severely, and the next morning she died. He got very bitter. He said this about Christmas: how inexpressibly sad are all holidays. Another time he said, I can make no record of these days. Better leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace. A Merry Christmas, say the children, but there is no more for me. He was bitter, but he got over it. He started to see God in a different light, and he wrote I think it was a hymn that was turned into a song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. How many of you have ever heard that one?
Yeah.
Let me give you a couple how he changed. He said, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill towards men. We don't have to look at the things that come in our life and use them as an excuse to be miserable.
Come on.
Yes, there's things that come that we may not like. Yes, there's things that we wish that, you know, we have to deal with sometimes. But you know what? When you know the Lord, you can have that deep-rooted joy that's there in spite of the circumstances around us.
Yes, sir.
Christmas may be over, and you knew I was going to say this, but giving is not over. I'm a pastor. It's what I'm supposed to say. Verse 11. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about offering time, okay? By the way, we have a very giving church, and I thank you for that. I'm just talking about giving in general. Someone has said you cannot separate worth from your wealth. At this time of the year, we're a little more giving of our resources. We're a little more giving of our time and all these different things. Let me just say this. When you get into the new year, don't stop that.
Yep.
Give of your time to the Lord by serving and helping others. Give of your talents. And then, yes, give of your treasures. But let's not be a selfish people. We think of our families, right? We give gifts to them. It started when you were courting your spouse, and you didn't just go out. You made a financial investment. You made an investment of your time. I remember I worked, when I was in college, and it's not a big deal, but I worked a very hectic schedule. The weekends were jammed full, and I was going full-time to college. I worked in Chicago about an hour away, working a full-time job overnight. Got about four to five hours sleep a night during the week. So because I was working third shift, when I was courting my wife, if I wanted to have a date with her, that meant I only got like an hour's sleep that night. And I never regretted it. Till 4 a.m, of course. It's like, coffee can't even help this. It's like, what was I thinking? I'll just write her a note next time. But you know what? It was nothing for me to do that because I wanted to be around her. I wanted to give of my time to her. What are we giving to the Lord? You know, we must be faithful to him, but giving is a Christian concept. And I'm not just talking about money, and we'll bypass that. Christmas may be over, and this is last, so you have, as Brother Board said, hope. But transformation is not over. Verse 12, and this is more pictured, so give me a little poetic license here. After this whole thing is over and they find Christ, they're going to go back, and of course Herod was going to, You know, Herod was not a good guy. He was going to deal with them. And so God gave them a little warning. It says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, like, don't go see that guy, they departed into their own country another way. Now, this to me is a picture of what happens when you come to Christ. You're different. You're different. When you really meet the Lord Jesus Christ, there, if you really are serious about it, there is no way you can ever walk away from that and be the same person you were before. It wasn't. You can't. Once you know Jesus Christ, once you start spending time with him, once you start understanding your word, his word, he changes you. He changes you. If you can look back on your life over the last couple of years, well, I've been a Christian for several years. Let me ask you, what difference has that made in your life? There ought to be some. You ought to be on that path that's taking you down a road that'll make you different than you were before. Your attitude should be different. Your love should, everything, your relationships should be different. Why? Because Jesus transforms all of that. So what's the message this morning? It's not negative, although I may have mentioned a few things. The message is positive. Christmas is over, but all the elements we love about it, the fact of the matter is, it ought to be Christmas for Christians all year round.
Amen.
We ought to have that joy and that peace and that love and everything we, look, well, the Christmas music's gone. I know, there's other good Christian music.
Yep.
Well, this is all, I know, you're not giving, there's things you can do, but we must purposely work at it.
Yes.
Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, please, if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 1 minute. I hope you enjoyed your Christmas. I love the whole thing. For us, it starts at Thanksgiving, and there's certain things our family does. There's things I do with the church family. Things we went out with the same. We did a bunch of things, and I enjoy all of it. Don't get me wrong. Now, when it's over, I like to move on. It's a lot to it. You're married, and both of your families, and Christmas Day is one family to another. I get it. But we enjoy it. We love it. We love everything about it. That's how the Christian life ought to be. I'm not saying that there's not, you know, you get time off. You got to work. I'm not saying everything's perfect, but can I just say this? When you know Jesus Christ, it's Christmas all the time.
Amen.
I don't need a day on the calendar to worship him. I don't need a day on the calendar to have joy. I don't need a day on the calendar to be thankful to him. I don't need a day on the calendar to follow him. And I don't need a day on the calendar for him to do something wonderful in my life. He's been doing that since the day I gave myself to him.
Amen.
The world will just pack up Christmas, put it in a box and get back to their ways. But not us. But not us. There's something better. If you're here this morning, and I ask this every Sunday morning, maybe you're newer. You're here this morning, and we're grateful that you're here. But you can't have any of that if you don't know Jesus Christ personally. By that, I mean this. Do you know 100% for sure, without any doubt, that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? You would say, Pastor Myers, with no one looking around, Pastor Myers, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you please pray for me about that? Is there anybody like that at all? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Yes. See your hand right here. The greatest gift you can receive at Christmas is the gift of eternal life. Let's stand together. Let's have the elements of Christmas in our life year round. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come?